Good morning, everybody. You remember our Lenten almsgiving project, right? Our project this year was to help those who may not have received stimulus money, and believe me, there are still a lot of people who are struggling, particularly who did not receive that help, so our focus was there. And we had said that we would raise $10,000 to help. I am so overjoyed to announce to you that the amount we raised was $32,766. And we are going to use this money to help people who really are struggling, some of them actually trying to buy baby formula and formula for their children who are not babies, but some who have not found employment, trying to pay bills, electric bills, water bills. So we have a criteria now how we can award this and to whom. I'm going to try and follow that. $32,000 is a lot of money, but boy, it can go within a week because that's the kind of need that we have. So please, thank you very much for being so generous. This community, we have a heart in the right place. My homily is something similar. Folks, it is rare for all three Sunday liturgy readings to have a common theme. Generally, the second reading veers off a little bit. But today is one of those rare Sundays. So sin, repentance, forgiveness, and reconciliation, we discover all these three themes in one way or the other in all three readings. What sins? Repentance from what? Reconciliation and forgiveness, but how? We understand the meaning of personal sin, personal repentance, and personal forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation. Many of us, this is part of our spiritual life. But there are also social sins, social repentance, and social reconciliation. Sins that affect us as the whole human family, and reconciliation that must happen in the entire human family. So listen, today I could have easily chosen to write a feel-good homily about sin and reconciliation, and then everybody goes home happy and I don't have any struggles. But I'm going to take the cue from Peter in today's first reading and muster the courage to reflect on the more complicated, complex, and difficult aspect of sin and reconciliation, the social dimension. In the past week, there was yet another mass shooting, this time in Indianapolis. And if you check news this morning, there was another one today in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Three people were dead, two injured. Eight people reported to work in Indianapolis a few days back, and they are now dead. Believe it or not, this was the 147th mass shooting. And what does it mean by 147? By mass shooting, at least four people have died in each one of these. There has been 147 mass shootings in 2021, which is at least one a day. Now, I understand that depending on where on the spectrum we are on reflecting on these themes, our opinion on these social matters differ, and that's okay. There is another area of grave concern in our culture, and regardless of the perspective from which you think about the issue, is the reality that race plays in the matter of law enforcement. And I know many law enforcement officials. Some of them are my friends. Not everybody is evil. I understand that as well. So this is no judgment on the larger law enforcement community. Gosh, we as a parish have a great relationship with them, and I respect their role a lot. But this is a matter of life and death for Black Americans. And let us not forget that there are right now more than 15,000 unaccompanied immigrant children in overcrowded detention centers in the United States. Children have been dropped over the border fence by traffickers. And imagine this, for desperate parents, dropping children over the wall into an unknown future seems better than the future they believe they can provide. And finally, there is the hate. The hate just won't go away. Divisions are becoming more pronounced, and human life is becoming more expendable. Add to the fact that even with all the ravages of nature, the urgency to care about God's creation is simply not there. And I'm not certain how to define these things, but there are very strong biblical warrants to call these realities sin, social sin. Let's define sin in my first point. There are many ways to define sin. One definition of sin is missing the mark. Just like an arrow that misses its target, people can make choices that take their lives into a very different direction that God wants it to go. Sin is missing the mark. Now, in my own personal life, and in one of the chapters in a book that I wrote, that Yana wrote, one of our parishioners, or edited, sin, I define sin as broken relationships. Relationship with God, relationship with others, relationship with the self, and relationship with creation, nature. However, having laid out the very serious personal and social issues in the introduction, today I would like to define sin as destroying God's vision for the world and humanity. Because we are looking at it from the social perspective, right? From the world perspective. Destroying God's vision for the world and humanity. You see, when Jesus began his ministry, he laid out a vision for the kingdom of God. Don't we pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And the foundation of Jesus' kingdom was what? Love, mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. And if everybody brought that vision, it would lead to a world where peace, justice, and goodwill would abound. This is God's vision. This is what Jesus wanted for the world. But Scripture testifies that Christ became the victim of the very things he came to turn humanity away from. So that which he wanted to repair took his own life. Hate. Pure hate. Prejudice. Division. Betrayal. Violence. Brutal violence sealed Jesus' fate. They killed the Son of God. As Peter proclaimed in today's first reading, "You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death." They not only killed Jesus, but they also destroyed God's vision for a new beginning, a new kingdom, a new people, and a new creation. How tragic. Therefore, today I want to reiterate that hate is a sin. Senseless prejudices and systemic racism are sins. Creating and festering division and discord are sins. Taking life, whether in the womb or at the end of life, through violence or at a traffic stop simply because of someone's racial identity, are sins. They are sins, social sins, because they destroy God's vision for the world. And then there is repentance. My second point. Jesus' entire mission was to reconcile humanity to God. But reconciliation requires repentance. Peter proclaims in today's first reading, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away. Now, we define sin, but how do we define relationships, repentance? Today, because my focus is social sins, I want to define repentance as our common sorrow, our common grief for destroying God's vision for the world. Repentance means that we acknowledge that we are undoing the redeeming work of Christ. Very important to remember this, right? So it's sins are not like I'm committing sins against some people. No, we are destroying God's and Christ's redeeming work. That's sin, and our repentance is to acknowledge that we are doing so. Repentance means that we recognize that we have become stumbling blocks to the unfolding of God's kingdom, a kingdom of life, love, mercy, justice, and peace. So we need to be repentant. We must repent if hate in any form is present in our lives. Whether we have hatred towards people of a different race, ethnicity, language, culture, religion, immigrants, political opponents, ideological differences, or even enemies, hate cannot be part of Christian life. Hate cannot be part of Christian living. In fact, Jesus invites us to love them all. We must repent if we lack reverence and regard for life in any way, at any stage, in any context. We must repent for the lack of remorse for the lives lost to gun violence, lives lost while enforcing laws, or lives lost as people seek safe places of refuge. We must repent if we consider one race superior over another. We must repent for collectively destroying God's beautiful creation. We must repent for failing to be sacraments of Christ's mercy, compassion, love, and forgiveness. For failing to live lives of generous self-giving. Let us repent. Sin, repentance, moving towards forgiveness. It is when we have found ourselves in sin, this is my third point. It is when we find ourselves in sin and express the remorse that leads to repentance that we can finally get to forgiveness. Folks, forgiveness of sin is one of the fruits of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we have proclaimed that in today's scripture readings. In today's gospel reading, in one of the resurrection appearances, here is what Jesus said. Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations. Forgiveness for the repentance of sins. Right? So we recognize sin, we repent, Jesus forgives. And John says this to the community, my children, I'm writing this to you that you may not commit sin. Please don't sin. But if you do, there is a way out. We're not condemned. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the whole world. Notice how freely John makes God's forgiveness available to the whole world. So recognizing our sin, in true sorrow and repentance, let us confidently appeal for God's forgiveness and be reconciled to God and one another. Forgiveness and reconciliation have two dimensions, right? The past and the future. In other words, I recognize my sin and I turn away from my past, but now what do I do for the future? Genuine forgiveness is when we graciously accept God's mercy for our past failures and turn our face to a new direction for the future. So here is what I'm proposing. Let us unite ourselves totally with the risen Christ who continues God's redeeming work through us. Jesus gave the ministry of reconciliation to the disciples It wasn't somewhere up in the air. He gave it to his disciples. He gives it to us. So we must conjoin hands in God's redeeming work, as opposed to continuing the sin of hate and division. Let's not work against Christ. Jesus defeated hate. Jesus defeated violence. He defeated death and destruction. Let us put aside everything that contributes to hate, to violence, to prejudice, to injustice. Let us become ambassadors of God's kingdom, this kingdom of love and mercy and reconciliation and justice and peace. And let us stop destroying our beautiful earth. Let us speak up against the social sins of our time and become spokespersons for the kingdom of God. Every Eucharist is the sacrament of forgiveness and healing. Every Eucharist. To be present at a Eucharist with hate or the desire to take life in our hearts, the contradictory just doesn't work. Every Eucharist is a sacrament of reconciliation and peace. May the Eucharist be a new beginning, a new vision for life for ourselves and for those around us. People of God said,